Welcome back to your Daily Dose with Bob and Nick. How much do you rely on the accuracy of your memory? Do you trust your brain to recount history clearly? Today, Nick and I talk about the power and the limitations of memory. And Nick shares a cool memory-related book that he recently finished. I'll let you know going in that the ending of this episode defies explanation and reason, but I found it imaginative and, ironically, pretty memorable. Enjoy. This is the beauty of having you as my friend. I actually have conversations with you that don't involve a microphone, and it's like weird.
Did they really happen?
Well, we can't prove it, can we? I mean, it's because memory, that's a fickle
pickle,
right?
Yeah.
Because I just have grown to not rely on my memory anymore. And when I say that, I do rely on my memory, but I will not start an argument based on my memory anymore. Because I've been proven wrong enough, and I've had to eat the little humble pie, which isn't undelicious, and ultimately I just don't want to do that anymore.
I was listening to a book recently that was very much about memory. It was sort of a central theme to it. And
fiction or nonfiction?
It was fiction.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was even more scary or thrilling or ominous to me because of what my dad is going through and just thinking about my own memory like lapsing or like getting older and starting to forget things, not only because I'm getting older but because there's other things happening with dementia or Alzheimer's or things like that. So the book is by Peng Shepherd, and I think it was her first book. It's called The Book of M. And it is about, it's post-apocalyptic. I didn't know anything going in, so it started out post-apocalyptic. And I was like, oh, I had no idea.
Okay, well, what made you pick the book up if you didn't know?
So I listened to her book, The Cartographers.
Oh, I heard that book.
Yeah, and I did not like the ending all that much.
Okay, that's the one that you really liked the book, but the ending was...
Up until the ending.
Right, okay.
Yeah, yes, yeah. So well done. Well written, had me with it the entire way, narrated very well. Not sure if it's the same narrator for both, but really well done up until the end. So I almost want to do like book reviews when I'm halfway through a book and just be like, this is the best. I don't know how it ends, but so far, so good. But Book of M was a lot more highly touted than The Cartographers. And the idea and the apocalypse happens because people start losing their shadows. Their shadows start mysteriously disappearing. No one knows why. And once your shadow goes, over a certain amount of time, maybe a few days, maybe a month, your memories go.
How interesting.
So you start to lose your memories. And the second part of that is not only do you start to lose your memories, if you have a memory that's particularly strong and you try to remember it and you put enough energy towards it, almost like magic, you'll misremember it into being. So, for example, if you forget you're not 10 feet tall, then you might become 10 feet tall. If you forget that crocodiles or alligators and cruise ships aren't the same, they might start existing like cruise ship size alligators.
Wow. That's a mind bend, really.
Yeah.
I'm trying to wrap my brain around it just as you're talking. I was trying to wrap my brain around the connection between shadows and memory.
No real connection. It's just that's you know,
the rules. That's the rules of the game. But
yep.
but. I can metaphorically see something there, you know, that isn't that really what memories kind of are? They're murky shadows in our minds of actual existences, right? They're not the existences. They're something that you can't touch and feel.
Yep.
It's like the shadow is the un-you. The memory is the un-you, right? It's like, that's interesting. Okay. So, and are you enjoying this?
I loved it. Yeah. All the way through the end. Right. Some good twists, right. Some fun.
And you listened to this one?
It was, yeah. And it, it reminded me a lot of The Stand.
Okay.
So like everything's falling apart. They have a mission to go across America. They're trying to make that happen. There's different groups. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was really good.
See, I hope if the apocalypse happens that I'm the person that people are going towards. Because I don't really want to be, you know, the one looking for the guru.
Oh, I don't want to have to travel.
Yeah.
During an apocalypse?
That's the most dangerous time to travel
walking,
ever.
There might be horses.
Yeah. I
don't know
still.
What they eat. What do they eat? Carrots?
Oh, yeah.
Sugar cubes?
And apples.
Where am I going to get those?
This is the thing.
It's apocalypse.
Then why do the horses even exist? That's the thing.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to become predators. I can't imagine a horse is a predator. They're just not that bright. One in Montana wasn't even bright enough to eat a half an apple I cut for him. I cut an apple in half.
Yeah.
And then, because I want to take care of my horse. His name is Monty. And he would not. It was short for Montenegro, by the way.
I like I think we should write a young adult dystopian future where the horses have turned against us. I kind of like that.
Call it Trample.
That's the event. It's 2 years after Trample. Or is it the Trample?
Yeah.
The Trampling? No, that sounds like a trampoline.
No, but the Trampling sounds kind of good. The Trampling. The trample would be
the trample.
Fine.
I think it's
2 years post trample.
You know, in the after the apocalypse, we forgot ing, how to use ing on the end verbs.
But yeah, gerunds are gone.
Yeah,
we're a gerundless society, but we all have hoof prints in our skulls.
We're all wearing those shoes now, working for the horses. Hey, it's Nick. Thanks for listening. Here at Your Daily Dose with Bob and Nick, we know you have a lot of choices when it comes to post-apocalyptic worlds, and we'd like to thank you for choosing ours. Trample. Or the Trampling. We're still working on the name. Just watch out for the horses, because they're watching you.